Next up is Inside Finance. Inside Finance is a special feature of this program every week where we discuss in depth the financial and economic challenges of our time and explore possible solutions. Here is your host this week, Stanford Simon.
Pleasant good day to Connecticut, Peter Martin, the rest of the Eastern Caribbean, wherever you are. I am Pastor Stanford Simon. It's a great joy to be with you once again, as always, as I say to our persons with me here who spend time talking to us about what's happening across the Caribbean. Do find them, especially when they're flying to Grenada, come to do some work. And today, believe it or not, I have with me in the studio Mr. Wayne Mitchell, IMF resident representative for the Eastern Caribbean. He's with me here, and Inside Finance, we'll be talking with him about what is happening across the Caribbean and what is happening here with our homegrown program. We're hearing it from the horse's mouth himself. So I look forward in talking with Mr. Wayne Mitchell about what's happening across the region and how the IMF is doing in the Caribbean especially. This is Inside Finance. I am Stanford Simon. Take a word from our sponsors. We come right back. And we start our discussion here today with Mr. Wayne Mitchell.
St. George's Baptist Church. Purpose: the channel God chooses to fulfill the needs of humanity. Vision: building communities which become the model for winning people to Christ. Mission: goal: empowering people to enjoy prosperity and fulfillment in life. These are the purpose, vision, and mission of the St. George's Baptist Church.
Welcome back. Thank you so much for joining me today. Mr. Wayne Mitchell, pleasant good day to you.
Good afternoon to you too, Pastor Simon. Good to be here.
Well, it's good to have you. I mean, I see you dressed in this nice, let me describe, white shirt, nice blue tie, nice pants, nice shoes, and nice glasses, looking sharp. You must be from the IMF.
No, I'm just here to keep appearances.
Well, it's good to have you. This is, I'm sure, it's not your first visit to Grenada.
No, I've been coming to Grenada, I think, since around 96, 97.
So you're a homeboy.
I'm a homeboy.
Yeah, homeboy. He's here. Well, I understand that you are a Caribbean national. Tell us about your roots.
I'm a St. Lucian. Grew up there in the 60s, went to school there, taught, worked for the Ministry of Finance, and in 1991, thereabouts, I moved to St. Kitts, taking up a job at the Eastern Caribbean Central Bank. So, by and large, I'm a Caribbean man. I've traveled throughout the OECS, as part of the staff of the Eastern Caribbean Central Bank. I've had assignments in Anguilla, Antigua, Dominica, St. Vincent, and I've done a little stint now and again in Grenada.
How long did you work for the Eastern Caribbean Central Bank?
About 10 years.
10 years. In what field? What area?
As an economist, with primary responsibility at the time for assisting countries in compiling their national accounts and balance of payments, and in one stage helping with debt monitoring with a number of the countries. And then I moved to a department called Financial Enterprise and Development, which was key instrumental in establishing the Eastern Caribbean Securities Exchange and the regional government securities market. At that time, it was spearheaded by none other than Arthur Campbell, a Grenadian.
Ah, yes, yes. Mr. Arthur Campbell. Yes, very, very much so. So with that, so you have worked across the region in most of the Caribbean countries.
I have.
What has your experience been like working with governments across the region?
It's been challenging. It's good seeing what we have in common. It's a little distressing seeing where we have shortcomings. And from time to time, you'll find inspiration from a number of technical people as well as politically minded people who are a little ambitious in seeing the OECS and the Caribbean in general moving forward. But it has had its rewards, it has had its shortcomings.
Well, for you, a man who had so much of challenges, you look very good for it. That's good. It means that you love stress.
No. I defer to the man upstairs.
Upstairs.
And ask him for his divine guidance.
And grace.
And grace.
And grace. Now, how long have you been with the IMF? And when did you assume your position of the resident representative of the IMF in the Caribbean?
Okay. I joined the IMF in 2001, directly from the Eastern Caribbean Central Bank, and worked with a department called, it's now called Strategic Policy and Review. That department is more or less responsible for setting the guidelines and the fund's operations in regards to its lending operations and its surveillance of its member countries. So it was a good training ground for me there to get a sense of precisely what it is that the fund was about. During that time also, I did a number of country assignments as a so-called country economist on Lesotho, which is a kingdom in the middle of South Africa, in the country itself, South Africa. So it's actually surrounded by South Africa.
It is within the country of South Africa.
It's within the country of South Africa.
And it's a country on its own.
And it's a country on its own.
Wait, what's the country?
Lesotho.
Lesotho.
So that was my first assignment. I moved on to Uganda, then on to Liberia, on to Kosovo, on to Rwanda, and I then took up an assignment in the African department as the res rep for Ghana in 2009 for 3 years. So I was based in Ghana. And when this opportunity came up for the resident representative of the Eastern Caribbean Currency Union, I thought it was about time to head back home and see whether or not I could make a little bit of a difference.
Well, I tell you what, I'm happy you're home. At least you're one of us and at least working. And you understand the Caribbean with your world experience. Have you found it to be very helpful, having worked across the world and coming back to the region, in helping you to help the Caribbean?
It's been, that experience, I think, has helped refine me in terms of what I think that we need to do in the Caribbean. It's given me a worldly view. It's made me less insular and more open to different ideas, different approaches. Also recognizing our own peculiarities in the region, our own culture. So it's refashioned me quite a bit. And I thought that would have provided a context and perspective through which I could perhaps provide a bit more support to OECS countries in particular in understanding the IMF, in understanding more fundamentally the issues that they were grappling with economic management. So I came with good intentions.
Then let me ask this question, because some people may still wondering. Explain to us, what exactly is the IMF?
The IMF is really an international institution established in the 40s, soon after the Second World War, with the express responsibility for international economic cooperation. And that came out of the destruction of the Second World War. As a matter of fact, let me step back. It actually did start in terms of discussions among a number of countries after the First World War and that the destruction following that. The discussions continued right through to the first Great Depression, late 1929 to the 30s, and then continued thereafter after the Second World War, at which point in time the decision was made that given what had transpired over the last 20 to 30 years, that there must be some organizing body that would pull nations together to help address a number of imbalances that they were seeing in the global economy as a result of countries and governments doing things without understanding that it had implications for other countries. So this idea of international cooperation was determined as a requirement moving forward. And that gave rise to two institutions, International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. The International Monetary Fund being responsible for macroeconomic stability. At the time, it was more in relation to exchange rate management and the World Bank dealing more with the development elements of it, development and growth. What you find from then until now is that the two institutions work closely together. So I tell everyone, if you're looking for the IMF for growth, you're looking at the wrong person. The IMF is responsible for macroeconomic stability. It does, however, have to recognize that growth should be a significant component of its programming, and it must have at its side other institutions that provide that kind of input. So the World Bank should be there. In the case of the Caribbean Development Bank should be there, and others, the International Inter-American Development Bank, should also be a partner in any kind of collaboration that is geared at improving operations in a given country.
So the IMF's sole responsibility is to stabilize the economy.
Yes.
And to get it on a good footing.
That's it.
To begin growth.
Right. So what we would normally say is macroeconomic stability is a necessary condition, but not necessarily a sufficient condition for growth. So you have one, then you bring the others in to create that base which you can improve and get growth. And the new buzzword, importantly, inclusive growth so that you get job creation, reduce unemployment.
Okay. So that leads me to my next question. You attended the Caribbean Growth Forum workshop on Grenada's progress.
Yes.
What is the forum and how was it? And what key messages did you deliver? Because okay. I think we need to put all of them in perspective first. What is the forum?
The Caribbean Growth Forum, as the word connotes, is really a forum geared at encouraging and supporting dialogue between the public sector and the private sector. And that came about from discussions not only in Caribbean, but this has been a forum that has had its genesis elsewhere. A recognition that the only way, or one of the more important ways of getting things in a country moving around, in terms of its structural reform, in terms of addressing a number of weaknesses, is to get these two important sectors talking and finding ways of resolving issues that are significant impediments to the operations of the private sector, but fundamentally to the operations of an economy. So that is the background behind the forum. Now, sometime in 2010, 2011, those discussions started happening across the Caribbean with a culmination, I think, in June 2012 of the Caribbean Growth Forum in Jamaica and its subsequent rollout throughout a number of countries in the Caribbean. What is the intention? The intention is to get the public sector and private sector discussing key issues. One on logistics, other on logistics and connectivity, which includes transportation and might also include internet connectivity. One on investment climate, and the third on skills and development. Now, these were the three components. There are a number of components, but given that this is a start, the first time you're actually putting together that kind of forum, that kind of dialogue, the intention was not to overwhelm the public sector and the private sector with a multitude of issues. Focus on what was considered three critical issues and get them working together to find elements to resolve what were considered structural impediments, issues that inhibited their efficient operations so that you can get an improvement in productivity and competitiveness and, importantly, in economic growth.
So what was the key messages delivered?
Well, in the case of Grenada, Grenada has had a number of elements and discussions on its own regarding the Growth Forum. And they had determined, that is, Grenadians, public sector and private sector, had determined what components that they wanted to see implemented. So I first identify which ones that they thought were critical for those three areas that I mentioned. And that, I think, had been established sometime in 2013. So this forum form of a workshop to assess progress by the public sector in the implementation of a number of those measures that had been identified in 2013. So that's the second time around.
Just before we go for the break, and I want, when I come back, I want to ask you, specifically dealing with Grenada's homegrown, which is really the next 15 minutes I wanted to talk.
Other than looking at anecdotal evidence, how things have been performing there. So I make a bid to the general public that when you have statisticians going around asking for information on the labor supply, labor skills demand, labor skills supply, employment, unemployment, give them a helping hand. It's all geared towards providing critical data as inputs into policymaking.
Very interesting. Just remind our listeners, this is Inside Finance. I'm Stanford Simon. With me is Mr. Wayne Mitchell, the IMF resident representative for the Eastern Caribbean. He's visiting Grenada, and therefore I'm seeking to have a chat with him about what's happening in Grenada and across the region. Well, we take a word from our sponsors, we come back, and I want to talk with him about Grenada Homegrown Program, for which we all know about, because we all are feeling the pressure. Maybe you would say he's one of the men who helping us feel the pressure, but we'll talk to him, hear what he has to say about that. We take a word from our sponsors, we'll be right back.
Are you in need of a place to worship, fellowship, to love and experience the power of God through His preached word? The members of the St. George's Baptist Church on the Springs Belmont Road invites you to come and be blessed. Come and worship. Come and praise. Come and give thanks. Every Sunday, the members of the St. George's Baptist Church on the Springs Belmont Road await your visit.
Welcome back. This is Inside Finance. I am Stanford Simon. With me in the studio is Mr. Wayne Mitchell, IMF resident representative for the Eastern Caribbean. He is here. We're talking a couple of things about the Caribbean, but I really want to talk to him. About our homegrown. Now, Mr. Mitchell, Grenada embarked on a homegrown program last year. Talk to us about what is your impression of it, but more than that, what are you seeing in the last year in terms of as we what we were what like before, what we are now, as you look and come time after time again and see the progress of where Grenada is going?
That one, I think, is a challenge to all. But let me put a little bit of context. Grenada, like many other OECS countries and countries worldwide, found itself in a very difficult situation coming out of the global recession and also coming out of issues relating to BICO and CLICO, which had a great dampening effect on the economies. It also suffered from what I call economic mismanagement, which altogether culminated in putting it in a position where it could not pay civil servants, it could not boost economic activity in the economy because it had no resources, it couldn't pay its debts. So it found itself at a crossroads. How do we move forward from here in terms of resolving this problem? And fundamentally, I think what it did well was to sit down and take stock of where it was and come to a conscious decision on how to move forward. So I'm happy that there wasn't much of that recrimination of who is to blame for what transpired. At that juncture, what was more important was how do we move forward together as a society to address the ill-comings, the shortcomings in the society.
And you think that was critical?
And that was critical, yes. It's a fundamental thing to come together and decide how do we move forward and address these things? And the whole idea of shared sacrifices, because it was going to be a painful adjustment, no two ways about it. So that was a critical component, I think, of building the consensus and establishing a homegrown program and then seeking the support of development agencies, whether it was the IMF, which is the one known best for providing that kind of support in terms of engendering macroeconomic stability by providing policy guidance on what should be done to address the situation, but also pulling in and getting the support of the World Bank, the Caribbean Development Bank, DFID, which is the UK Agency for Development, the Canadians, which is now DFATD, the European Union, and a number of other agencies. Germans, which is something that I've seen for the first time in a long time in the Caribbean region, there are a number of other agencies that came out of the woodwork, all to support Grenada's homegrown program. So that was critical. The other critical element is making tough decisions. I happen to have been here on a number of occasions when the permanent secretary, Timothy Antoine, addressed the Committee for Social Partners, explaining the situation that Grenada was faced with, indicating, for instance, that revenue is insufficient to cover basic requirements of government services. And as much as people complained then, he said, and in the end, people understood. Taxi drivers told me that very same thing. Given where we are, how can we not make the adjustments to better ourselves? So he made the plea, the prime minister made the plea, and sooner, others in society came together to recognize that a fundamental change had to be made. And that, I think, is important. The IMF support here is simply that. If we have the expertise in terms of designing policies and programs that can help redress the shortcomings of fiscal performance, we will provide that. We will go beyond that and help in identifying structural factors on the fiscal side in terms of the operations of your treasury, the operations of customs, and the operations of Inland Revenue Department. We'll bring in technical experts from the region who have worked elsewhere in the world to provide you that kind of support and reform your legislation, your rules, your processes in order to improve their operations. So that's one aspect that we bring. But your other donor agencies bring in others, you know?
Okay. So talk to us about now. You've seen in the past year, 12 months, you've been visiting. How have we been doing? What are some of the things you think that we're doing right and some of the changes you think that we need to do as a country to get us to where we need to go?
The program had at its core design an adjustment in your fiscal balances. So essentially, you need to correct for the excesses of expenditure over revenue. So there's a significant adjustment where, as a household person, you'd say you're making the adjustment to live within your means. It's easier to tell a housewife or a man on the street that. The same thing applies to a government. So cut down your expenses and try to live within your means. So that was one. The other one was improve the way you operate so that you get the efficiency. A third component would have been get debt relief. The amount of debt that Grenada was saddled with and the amount it had to service was too much for it to do and do the other elements of its government operations. So getting debt relief was critical. And then also finding other means of providing support to the poor and vulnerable in society. So you have a social targeting regimen that is geared at providing that support to the less fortunate. And then one component would be, very importantly, seeing to what extent you can refashion a regulatory environment that is supportive of the private sector.
So, as you have seen in the past months, where are we?
Right now, the focus has been on the accounts, setting a set of targets where Grenada slowly addresses that imbalance where it increases its revenue and starts reducing its expenses or its expenditure, but more fundamentally ensuring that both components are more equitably established. Now, for each, you may have noted that the IMF team comes twice a year. So in each occasion, what they have done prior to that is establish a set of what we call quantitative targets. So we'll say we want revenue to grow by a certain amount. We expect to see expenses drop by a certain amount. And so the deficit or the surplus is X. What we come in to do on these occasions is to see to what extent that the government has met its commitment towards achieving those targets. So that's one. and they have done so.
I think that's very critical.
Right.
So then the IMF is happy.
So the IMF is happy, as we've had one review so far, and that was very satisfactory. A component of that also is setting what we call structural benchmarks. Now, that's simply a term to say we may have made a requirement that Grenada pass a public finance act. It would have passed a GIDC act. There are a number of such regulatory frameworks that are supporting that, which need to be implemented, first going through Parliament and then having discussions with stakeholders and for implementation. A number of these were established as well, and Grenada has met most of them. So that's just as the first review. I should also indicate that a second review is planned for next week. Mm-hmm. So a team will be coming in to do the assessment of targets and benchmarks that have been established the last time around for Grenada to achieve. And the team will be coming in, almost like your CGF workshop.
Okay.
In terms of doing that accountability. This is what you agreed to do. Have you done it? If not, why not? What can we do to address those shortcomings so that you achieve those things the next time around? Mm.
And so far, you think the government have shown that it is accountable to the benchmark that it has set?
I think it is, or it has been. One of the fundamental things I also like about the operations is the IMF Monitoring Committee. I think it's very useful to have civil society involved in understanding what the targets are and also holding the government accountable for the implementation of a number of those things, fundamentally because this is Grenada's program. What we're doing is providing support. So the idea of it being homegrown, I think, is a fundamental distinction which needs to be recognized.
So it is not an IMF program?
Well, the IMF is supporting
it. It's supporting it, but it is homegrown.
How we refer to it is Grenada's homegrown program that is being supported by the IMF.
Well said. Almost out of time. Any final thoughts?
What Grenada has embarked upon is a tough adjustment, but necessary. And the success that comes out of it will fundamentally be based on what's been put in. Community, society, private sector support for that program has to continue. This is not a short-run story. This is medium-term. This is 5 years and more to correct for a number of deficiencies, some of it structural, some of it economic management implied, but it will take time to fix, and the discipline is required by all to see it through.
Well said, well said. You've been listening there to Mr. Wayne Mitchell. I want to thank you for sharing with us and being so candid, but yet still direct in sharing the information and telling us that we all need to be responsible in making this work. Thank you. Mr. Wayne Mitchell, he is the IMF resident representative for the Eastern Caribbean. He is here in Grenada for a few days. I got to talk with him. It was nice. And I want to ask you, whenever you come, can we get a chance to talk with you every time you come in the country, at least just update us?
We should certainly do that as a requirement.
I look forward to talking with you, and I hope, Mr. Timothy and Dwayne, hope you're listening. I want to make sure you keep me informed when Mr. Wayne is in, and so we can have this chat. Thank you again for coming.
Thank you.
Well, my listeners, there we come to the end of our program. We have been listening to Mr. Wayne Mitchell, the IMF resident representative here for the Eastern Caribbean. This is Inside Finance. I'm Pastor Stanford Simon. Thank you so much for joining us today. We wish you a very blessed and enjoyable week. Join me here next week at the same time where we do this all over again. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to another edition of Inside Finance, a program that explores the financial and economic challenges of our time. Join us next week for another edition.